Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Atraco Housing and Industries Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Bhatt from E&Y Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhatt.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the call. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with a business risk that could cause future results, performance, or achievement to differ significantly from what is expressed and implied by such forward-looking statements. Please note, the results and presentation are available on the exchanges and on our company's website. Should you need any assistance to receive them, you can write to us, and we'll be happy to send them over. Today, we have on the call senior management of Atraco Housing and Industries Limited, which is represented by Mr. Pankaj Bajaj, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Manish Jaiswal, Group COO, Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, Group President, Accounts and Taxation. We'll begin with the highlights of the quarter, followed by Q&A. Now, I would like to transfer the call to Mr. Manish Jaiswal for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Manish Jaiswal. I would like to welcome everyone to Atraco Housing and Industries Limited's Q1 FY24 results call. Thank you for participating in the call. Let me begin with a few comments on real estate market, after which I'll discuss operational and financial results for the first quarter ended June 2023. I would like to highlight the two most important themes that have been in play for some time, post-COVID: consolidation and premiumization. These themes have changed the landscape of the residential real estate market, and we are greatly benefiting from consolidation trend, due to brand leadership that we enjoy in Lucknow micro market. The growing demand for premium real estate also bodes well for our margins. However, while demand for premium real estate continues to rise, arranging supply through land assembly and getting timely approvals remains the key challenge, which we continuously are trying to address. During the quarter, no new projects were launched, so we had a relatively muted quarter. In Q1 FY24, our bookings climbed 40% year-on-year to 31.4 crores, up from 22.4 crores in Q1 FY23. The total collections in Q1 FY24 stood at 25.5 crores. We delivered little less than 60,000 sq ft, which translated to 46 homes registered in favor of happy buyers. As shared in our last presentation, we are actively developing our new project pipeline. We successfully launched our project, Atraco Latitude 27, in July 2023, and received a positive response on the launch. The project has total sellable area of more than 500,000 sq ft. It is a three to four year project, and we expect it to yield a top line of about 250 crores. The phase two of our successful township, Atraco Imperia, will be our key launch in the months to come. This is a three-year project. Again, this will result in a top line of more than 250 crores and gross margin of more than 40%, as it is primary horizontal development, primarily plotted project. Additionally, between April 2023 and June 2023, we purchased a new land of 4.65 acres, and we plan to continue with this primary land aggregation in the coming months. In July, we also added a new land parcel of over 3 acres at a prime location. This will be a high-rise luxury project called Atraco Trinity. The approvals for this project are already under process. These and a couple other projects under acquisition will entail an investment of about 200 crore for which we plan to raise around 100 crores of debt this year. As we head towards the festive season, we are gearing up to meet the increased demand for quality real estate with the aforementioned launches. We believe our booking value will more than double in the current year as a result of all these launches that we have lined up. Moving on to our financial performance for the quarter, the consolidated revenue from operations was ₹24.8 crores compared to 27.6 crores in Q1 FY23. The consolidated EBITDA was 7.8 crores in Q1 FY24 compared to 11.3 crores in Q1 FY23. EBITDA margin continues to remain high at 31.4%. The company's consolidated PAT stood at 7.6 crores in Q1 FY24 as compared to 10.1 crores in Q1 FY23. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Priyank Gupta from Guardian Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My question is regarding the proposed resolution for a term loan which is being sought from Piramal Enterprises as to for which project are we considering taking this loan?
Well, this loan is for this loan is for Eldeco Trinity, which we have recently acquired. It's around 3 acres of land at a prime location in Lucknow, and the approvals are well under process for this one.
Okay. And the follow-up question is whether there is a prepayment option in this loan, because historically the company has been able to execute most of his projects with negative working capital.
Yeah, there is a prepayment option in all the loans. In this loan also, we hope to prepay the loan that we have taken before the tenure that has been defined in the documents through the approvals of the project.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupama Prakash Bhutra from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to understand the realizations in Lucknow. So what I can see is the realizations have gone down from 4,800 to 4,500 percentage realizations on quarter-on-quarter basis. So this is my first question. Secondly, we are Lucknow concentrated. So I just wanted to understand like how lucrative the Lucknow market is in terms of demand and pricing as compared to other tier 2 cities. So these are my two questions.
Manish, can I take this? This is Pankaj Bajaj.
Yeah, please, sir.
So, Anupama, I actually was surprised myself when I saw the number in terms of, because our assessment is that the realizations are actually going up, and that is what we've been doing and we've been sharing with you. So, this quarter, the realization went down because of the change in mix slightly. As you know that we recognize our revenue based on the transfer deals that we do to our customers. Some transfer deals for our old customers which are booked at old prices, got them, the sales were booked this quarter, so that's why the realization is down. But overall pricing is definitely up, and it is significantly up. So the Trinity project that we are sharing with you, I think it will be much higher than the number that we are looking at. And the pricing is going up everywhere at a price which is almost 20% price per annum right now. This particular quarter is an anomaly because of the accounting, the way the accounting is done.
Okay. And regarding if we compare Lucknow to other tier two cities, so what is the scenario as far as demand and pricing power is concerned?
Anupama, again, I'll link it with the first question. Look at our margins and look at the margins of companies which work in the so-called bigger towns, deemed to be more lucrative. I don't think any other company in the country has these kind of margins. So basically, we look at ourselves as an agency to convert raw land into a finished product, and the market rewards us for that. Now, that conversion process is being rewarded the highest in Lucknow right now, and that is reflected in our margins. So our margins, our EBITDA margins are upwards, have historically been upwards of 40%, which are not there in any other city. Maybe in South Bombay or Prime Bombay, maybe, but definitely not in NCR, definitely not in the other cities that we know. And as far as the overall market size goes, it is definitely not as big as a Hyderabad or a Bangalore, but it is getting there. It is Lucknow is part of the new wave of cities which are now emerging, the infrastructure, the social infrastructure, the physical infrastructure. It is a big market. I think it is growing at, we don't have hard data, but the informal data which tells us that historically about 2,500-3,000 fresh units per annum used to sell in Lucknow. Right now, the demand is for double of that, and there's just not enough supply. So if we get even 25% market share of that, I think it's our balance sheet is going to change completely. It is a big market, underserved, and profitable.
Okay. And we don't have any plans to go out of Lucknow in near term, right?
No, not right now. We are, in fact, I've been sharing in our last presentation that we were a little slow. We could not tie up fresh projects, but the demand is so high that for the first time we are taking debt to take up a new project. So we can put in all the capital which is available in our balance sheet right now and take on more debt, and it will not be enough to serve the market in Lucknow. So as of now, we would not like to vacate and get distracted by other markets. There's no point. We feel there's no point right now for the next year and a half at least. I can't say beyond that.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Manan Patel from Erawat Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question is regarding the launches. So last year also was pretty slow, and you mentioned there were some policy issues happening in Lucknow. So wanted to understand what are these issues, and are other players also facing slower launches? Because this has been there for almost one and a half years. So can you throw some light on this?
I agree with you. It's been quite disappointing as far as getting approvals and launches go. Two our projects are stuck in protracted approval process. We are very close, which is Imperia Phase 2 and 3. We did launch Latitude 27, but it is not captured in this particular quarter. We launched it in July. Hopefully, Trinity, which is a new launch, again, a new acquisition for which we are raising the loan, should also get launched somewhere around the valley. But, and to respond in a very general term, yes, every player in Lucknow is facing this process, this issue of slow approval process. And that has delayed the launches. In fact, it is not only a UP phenomenon, it is a Haryana phenomenon, it's Punjab, the approval process has become slow again because of multiple windows that we have to go through, and it is taking time. But the flip side, I if we have to find the silver lining, that the delay has actually increased the profitability of the project. What has happened is that because of the, and it is not the Eldeco specific thing, all launches have got delayed. And the demand is very strong, so supply is not there. There's a demand-supply gap, which is getting reflected in rising prices. So all these delayed launches, whenever they're coming this quarter or the next quarter, they are at prices much higher than what we had originally underwritten. And the prices at which these lands were logged have already become historical. So that's a silver lining. I would not like it today. That's not a way of earning profit for us. We like to take projects and launch them immediately. But because the approval process has taken time, the margin will be higher, but yes, it has taken longer.
Got it, sir. So, sir, is there a chance that over next few quarters, a lot of pending projects get approved and there's a huge glut of supply in the market, which might dampen the supply-demand equation?
No, no, not really. At a macro level, no.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen. If we are going to be, in my limited knowledge of the market and knowledge of what other players are doing, I don't think aggregate supply is increasing drastically. The demand is, but the supply is constrained big time.
Understood. Understood.
Yeah.
Sir, the next question is regarding in the opening commentary, we mentioned that we are planning to invest some 200 crores, and for that, we are raising 100 crores of debt. So just wanted to understand, one, because we already have around 140 crores of cash on books, plus we have loans to the other sister concern company around 35-40 crores. So combining these two, why would there be a need to raise debt in addition, because we also are a negative working capital company of sorts? So why would we need to raise debt when we have so much liquidity on our hand?
I'll answer that question in two, three parts. First is a small procedural part, which is that, yes, there is cash on the books, but if you're aware, the RERA conditions say that 70% of the collections from customers have to go into a designated escrow account, which gets opened only on completion of the project or as per the progress of the project, and 30% is available as free cash flow to the company. A lot of this 140 crore odd of the cash on the balance sheet of the company is stuck in RERA accounts. So these could be running accounts. I think 50-60 odd crores is running the projects of the company. So which you can withdraw money only with the progress of the project. And unfortunately, about 30 odd crores is such in projects which have actually applied for completion certificate. Completion certificate is taking time. And in a few cases, the completion certificate has come, but the RERA authority is taking time to close the account, and that money is going to get free. So in spite of having cash on books, sooner or later this money is going to get freed, no doubt about it. But as of now, about 70-80 crore or thereabouts is stuck in their accounts. Sooner or later it is going to get heavy. But we don't want to give up the opportunity which are coming our way, and we actually have to grow our business. So we have decided to borrow and do our business development. The other reason is that in spite of this, why are we borrowing? Is because we want to keep our equity money free for fresh project development, fresh business development, and we want to have a judicious mix of debt and equity on our balance sheet. It cannot be completely equity, because I think then we will not go this a capital heavy business. We will not be able to grow as far as the market is giving us the opportunity for, and as fast as we want to grow. So actually, we will probably be going for more debt and taking more projects, because the margins are looking very good, the demand is looking very good. So this is the time to go deeper into the market, and we will be putting more capital towards. So in spite of having cash on balance sheet, this is the reason why we are taking debt.
Understood. That's very helpful, sir. Regarding business development, in your previous calls, you have mentioned that the land prices have increased substantially, and in conjunction the real estate prices have also increased. So do you see our land acquisition or business development picking pace during this year or in coming quarter?
I didn't get the question. Come again.
So do you see the land acquisition or business development part picking pace in coming quarters, because I understand we have acquired around 4.5 acres land in Q1 also, but do you think this can pick up pace substantially in the coming quarters?
Yes, I think Manish did mention that we expected to pick up pace, and I think hopefully we should have something positive to share with you in the next call or in the call after that. It will pick up significantly. That's why the move towards debt. We've done the planning, and as Priyank said in the original, in the first question, we may not actually need the money for the project that we are leveraging. And with the consent of the lenders, the lenders are NBFC, with the consent of lenders, we may be using that money for fresh land aggregation. And yes, that's going to happen in the next couple of hours.
Okay, got it. And sir, one bookkeeping question related to our loan to the EIPL sister concern. So around 33 crores, could you help me understand what is the lending rate we are giving to that company? And the perspective of the question is, from the numbers that I saw, that company has a substantial amount of debt. So is there a chance that the debt in that company can rock the ship in this company? So from that perspective, I'm asking.
No, I think it is sufficient explanation of that transaction. That is a that transaction happened in a period where we could not deploy our money in business development in Lucknow. So we had a project going on in Lucknow where we, Elica Housing and Industry Limited, has taken about 50% beneficial interest in that company, but that has guaranteed the minimum return of 8%. So that is what is getting reflected. And once the project gets completed in Lucknow, 50% of the returns of that the projects come back to Elica Housing. So that's what it is. But there is a guarantee, because it is a related party transaction, there is a guarantee of 8% per annum return by EIP. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir, that's very helpful. And so, one last question, if I may. There's a lot of opportunity, as you mentioned. Lucknow itself is a big market, and Ayodhya being nearby. Do you see other non-residential opportunities in nearby areas with the development of tourism in something place like Ayodhya?
No, not really. We don't want to get distracted right now. I think we are good at what we do, which is residentially listed largely. And we have a very strong brand equity in Lucknow. As somebody mentioned, it's a negative working capital business, apart from the first investment that you have to do to acquire the land. We don't want to go into capital-heavy kind of hotels or other kind of mall kind of businesses at this stage in Lucknow or nearby towns.
Okay, sir. That's very helpful, and wish you all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vallabhi Rungta from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So my question relates to the booking guidance for FY24 and by which quarter we can expect the run rate to start?
The question is about the booking run rate for FY24?
Yes, you're correct.
I think we already, Manish already mentioned, last year our booking was about 120 odd crores. This year we expect to more than double it. Though we had a muted first quarter, but we have launches coming up.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Beria from a professional investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So congrats for the launch of our Latitude 27 project. It's really good to see that we have been able to launch it. I have a question about some of our older projects that are closer to completion. I see that about 20 to 25% of the inventory has been maintained on our own books and not been sold. What's the reason behind this?
Let me just, there could be something project specific.
So I see this trend in like a lot of projects which are going to be delivered in 23.
Can you point out a project? I can answer you on that.
Yeah, okay. So, Regalia Arcade, Shaurya Arcade, East End, I think these three are going to be delivered in 23.
Yeah, these are small projects and these are shopping center and the upper floors usually take time to sell. So, these are the upper floors and the shopping center. The other big one is Imperia Phase 1. And there, part of the land, it's a horizontal plotted development. As per local norms, you have to mortgage a certain percentage of the sellable area to the local authority as a guarantee that you are going to complete the internal development. And though our RERA registration is for end of 24, we hope to apply for completion certificate within this year. And once that is the completion certificate is received, that mortgage area is going to get released. So it does get released proportionally, but the major part of it gets released during the after you get completion certificate. So the reason why that inventory is showing as unsold is just because the government has stopped us from selling it from till the time you get completion certificate, which is a regular planning norm. That is a approval thing. But otherwise, largely if you look at it, it's not a lot of it is not unsold.
And what percentage do we need to keep on our books for these horizontal development projects?
You broke. Could you repeat?
So what percentage of our inventory do we need to keep on our books in these horizontal development projects?
So it changes from city to city, but usually a development authority will ask you to keep 25% of the sellable area is mortgaged for to ensure completion of the project. And as the project progresses, you apply to them and ask them for proportionate release of some of the mortgage area, which they do. So recently we did have some release in Imperia Phase 1, which we were able to sell out within a day.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. My next question is also on our horizontal development projects. Apart from land costs which we have to incur and the land aggregation costs, what are the other major cost items in this? So if, for example, if our land cost is 50 to 60% of our selling price, how much is construction cost in these projects?
So typically in an acre, you would buy land for 2 to 3 crore rupees an acre. Your development cost would be 2 crores an acre. Your approval costs, which includes the payment you have to make to the local development authorities as external development charges or various charges, would be about 1 crore an acre. And there would be other charges of about 1 crore, which are overhead, etc. So it all adds the time of the report. For horizontal.
And what's the realizations we get per acre?
Our gross margin in front of you, you just gross it up with 40%, that's what we're making.
Perfect. And probably that's why so much of our focus has been on this horizontal development.
Not only the profit margin, it's a difficult business to be, otherwise everybody would be in that business. Land aggregation is a difficult part, it takes time. Our investors have been patient for the last year and a half because we have taken time in aggregation. But once you are successful with it, you can milk it for years because your land cost is then historical and you are sitting on a vast expanse of land. A prime example is what DLF has done in Gurgaon. So they aggregated the land in the 80s primarily, 80s or 90s, and now it is a historical piece of land. So in a small way, you tend to do that in, that's what we've been doing in Lucknow. So the other reason why we have gone for horizontal development historically is that it's a very low-risk kind of business model. So real estate market is a cyclical industry. It does right now, we're in an up cycle, but you never know when a down cycle will come. Surely it will come. So at that time, if you have a lot of high-rise inventory, which is under construction, and you're not able to, the market hits a downturn, then you tend to get into a cash crunch and the projects tend to get stalled. But that does not happen in horizontal development where you can match your cash inflows and with outflows more quickly. You can stop that part of the township where sales are not happening, you know. But you can't stop, you can't build the quintet story of a high-rise building without building the 19th, even if it is sold or unsold. So it's a risk mitigating kind of strategy.
It makes sense. And my last question, so fine, this year we have been able to launch Latitude 27, which can give us potential sales of 250 crores. We'll also probably launch phase two of Eldeco Imperia, which might give us 250 crores more. Are there any other projects lined up for launch in FY24?
Trinity. We have not disclosed it in this quarter, but it will happen after that. So the Trinity transaction happened in July. So in the next call, we will have more details about it. But it's the 3-acre parcel that the prime parcel is taking. Approval is under process. Hopefully by another 4-5 months, we should be able to launch it.
Okay, so we are kind of set for a 300 crore potential sales from FY20.
So Trinity itself is about 300 crores. We hope to be able to surprise you with a higher number, but I am not going to say it right now.
That's great. Thanks for answering my questions and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogansh Jaiswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So I'm saying if you look at the last 10-12 years, I think Eldeco has majorly launched projects like villas, basically horizontal development. While of late, if we see most of our launches are vertical development. So do you think Lucknow as a market is now getting saturated in terms of land availability or in terms of the costing per housing is going so much that going forward more and more vertical development is something that we need to focus on?
Manish, you would like to have a go on that?
Sorry, your question was not clear.
So Manish, what I was trying to ask you ki abhi tak jaise Eldeco ka dekhe, so we have been launching projects like villas wala horizontal development basically zyada kar rahe the. You are not into many apartments as such. Majority apne villas type ke ya jaise aapka Eldeco city tha ya in and around Lucknow, a lot of the township projects were coming up. While if we see now, so like Eldeco Luxa was launched, Eternity, and then this again Latitude. These are basically high-rise apartments, vertical developments rather than horizontal. So going forward, do we see that given the kind of market Lucknow has become in terms of land prices or land availability, do you think more and more launches would be of apartments rather than townships?
So Lucknow as a city is attractive demands from all over the UP, and there are buyers both for horizontal as well as for vertical. What we realize is that we can continue to develop both kind of asset classes. Obviously, it will depend on which location we are developing that specific project. As far as horizontal development is concerned, we will continue to focus on that on the outskirts of Lucknow, where it is easier to acquire the larger land parcels, the aggregate larger land parcels at relatively lower cost. But city-centric development, as you rightly pointed out, because the land prices have gone quite high, we expect city-centric developments mostly to be high-rises.
Got it. So, sir, in this between horizontal and vertical projects, sorry if my understanding is wrong, but I think horizontal is comparatively less riskier in terms of development because suppose if we have, say, 10 villas to sell and we get money for two, so we can start building and spending construction money on those two villas, and by the time somebody comes and sees our site and see that the development is going on, so they get little more confidence and they probably book, say, for the next 3-5 villas. So your working capital doesn't get blocked. While in vertical, what we have seen and why the real estate players have struggled is because in vertical development, if you haven't been able to sell, say, 5 floors out of 10, then the 7th floor, which has got booked, doesn't get delivered. And then that entire thing then spirals into a working capital problem, and then the reputation gets affected because of the completion thing and all. So how do we think of mitigating such challenges, and what is our basic thinking?
Well, we believe that we can maintain a healthy mix of both horizontal and vertical development projects in our portfolio, which can allow us to balance this risk out. If you see some of these new high-rise projects that we have recently launched or talked about launching, for example, Twin Tower or Latitude or even the Trinity, which we talked about today, which will come up in the near future, all these projects, although high-rise, they are relatively smaller in size. 3 acre, 3.5 acre, twin tower is in fact around 1.5, 1.7 acres. So there is not much inventory, at least in the new project that we have in our portfolio on the high-rise side, to for me to say that that risk is pronounced as of now, because of the size of these projects in the high-rise category. Going forward also, the balance can easily be maintained by maintaining a healthy mix of both horizontal and vertical projects.
Understood, sir. And in terms of, sir, the forthcoming projects, are we not too inclined towards taking up more commercial projects? I think in our presentation, we also have few snapshots of our corporate offices, I think, which are in Lucknow. So I don't see many more such projects coming up. So is the sole focus more on the residential side of the real estate only?
Yeah, the primary focus that we have, and it's a state focus, we want to focus on the residential development.
Got it. And sir, if you could share how has been the response of our Bareilly project now that it has been running for a few quarters. So how is that market taking up to our project? What is the kind of buzz that we see? If you could share some insights about that.
Yeah, sure. See, as far as absorption is concerned, that project has done extremely well. I think the inventory that we opened up, 80%, 75-80% of that inventory is already sold. We are well on our way to delivering that project, and construction is also progressing well. I have some numbers about Bareilly project in front of me right now. The total saleable area of around 8.73 lakh square feet, which we have in the project, out of that around little less than 6 lakh square feet is already booked. And we have around 2.8 lakh square feet area which is available. And out of this area which is available for sale, good part of it is already, part of that inventory which will get opened up post getting the occupancy certificate for the project.
Got it. That's really helpful. And sir, incrementally, like you shared that we bought some 3.5 acres land in Q1 and then in July another 1 acre of land. So say for next 1 or 2 years, what is the kind of land parcel or aggregation of land that we are targeting? Is there a number in mind that we need to do 10-15 acres or is it totally based on the opportunity that as and when it comes, we will take it as?
Well, I would request Pankaj sir to take this up if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah, so these two parcels we've already taken, and we have hinted in our comments that there are couple of other parcels. In all, we would like another 50 acres to get added at least, if not more, and that's the reason why we're tying up the debt. I think it is also opportunistic, but where we are term sheets out, where active land assembly is happening, that would be more than 50 acres currently in the pipeline, which we are not in a position to officially confirm it, but hopefully in the next call or the call after that, we should have something concrete.
Got it. So Pankaj, this 50 acre you saying is the something that you want to do in next 1 or 2 years, right?
Next quarter or the quarter after that assembly should get completed. And in the approval process, as you know, the time-consuming process will take 6 months, 9 months. So by the time it hits the market, it will be 4 quarters.
Sorry, I got a bit confused. So 50 acres of new land parcel is something that you want to take up in next 1 or 2 quarters?
These are in the pipeline. It's not what we want. It's okay. The term sheets are out, but again, we'll have more information for you in the next call.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you and all the best to the entire team and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Neelam Singh from Share Giant. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to ask that if I see your EBITDA margins, EBITDA margin has been volatile, not only quarter on quarter, but I also see the year performance. That is also volatile. What kind of EBITDA margins on a normalized basis you are seeing? And what is the reason for this volatility?
The reason is primarily the way the revenue gets recognized. It depends on what is getting recognized as revenue in that particular quarter or that particular year. So if you have a project which is a lower margin product which is getting recognized, where the completion side of it has been received and the provision has been offered and the customer has come forward and the sale is happened, so that's what gets recognized. So to give you an example, later this year we'll have a completion certificate, we'll apply for completion certificate before time of interior phase 1. Now that is a high EBITDA margin project. Once that happens, you'll suddenly see it jumping. And that particular quarter you'll find that the EBITDA margin has increased. So it's not that the company performance is volatile, it's just what gets recognized as revenue is jumpy, lumpy or volatile. So that's the simple answer there. On an average, EBITDA margin in Lucknow's market is 30 to 40% for us. Not for others, but 35 to 40% is what we hope to achieve on a smooth end basis.
30 to 40%.
Yeah.
Okay. And another question from my side is, what type of projects we are planning to launch in this fiscal, and any upcoming launches that you would like to, we'll get more clarity through explain?
No, well, I think we already answered that question. We will be launching Interior Phase 2 and 3.
Okay.
Hopefully Trinity. So these two we have clear visibility on. The rest are still land which are getting assembled, etc. So we have visibility on two projects in the next quarter or the quarter after that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchi Bhadra from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So as you guided that collections will double from these levels, can you throw some light on the roadmap of the same, please?
You were too soft, Ruchi. I didn't get the question. Can you repeat a little loudly?
Sorry. Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better now.
Yeah. So, sir, I was asking that you guided that collections will double from these levels. So I just wanted to know that can you throw some light on the roadmap of the same?
No, I didn't comment on collection. I commented on booking numbers.
Okay.
Booking numbers will double from these levels on a conservative basis, hopefully. And I did add that we hope to be able to surprise you on the higher side. But conservatively, the booking numbers will double this year.
Okay. And anything on collections, sir?
Collection always follow with the lag. So collection is a derivative of booking. So okay. You can always, jo bhi booking ho rahi hai, do quarter ke baad uska collection chalu hota
hai. Two quarters.
And once you have the booking number, you can simply extrapolate that to be a collection number with a lag of 3-4 quarters.
Understood. Thanks, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harish Shah from HS Investments. Please go ahead.
So first of all, thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations for the management for doing an excellent job. So what I understand from the presentation and as per the commentary, so in FY23, we have already done the revenues of close to 130 crores. And by seeing the pipeline of the projects, we anticipate that in the next coming years, we'll be hitting the top line mark of 300 crores plus. So could you guide, how do you see yourself in the coming 5 years? Like,
you're
all together in
a
different league.
No, I would not like to make such forward-looking statements. Let's talk about what we have in hand. I can only say that Lucknow is a great market to be in. The market size is increasing exponentially. We are very well placed. We are the market leaders. I can see in concrete terms what's going to happen if the launches happen in the next 12 months or the next 18 months. I would not like to hazard a guess there what our top line would be 5 years from now. It could be anything, but I would not like to make a very vague statement. I would not like to put a number on it, but it will be, I hope it will be much higher than the number that we're looking at. Right?
Mm, okay, sure. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yep. Thank you for the opportunity. As I said, I am an individual investor. I was going through the money control profile. So I just had a query before I step in that our revenue really halved, the profit really halved in this quarter. And then I see we have proposed for an increment in our MD sir remuneration, right? So would it be able to provide some light on the quantum so that while we are taking loans?
I got confused in the question. The revenue has halved because of the, not because the company did not perform well, but because this quarter we did not get any completion certificates or with not so many transfer deeds to the customer happened, that's when we recognize revenue. And it's going to jump again in the third quarter when we get into the certification. So that is a dumpy kind of situation. We, unfortunately, that's how our revenue is recognized in our industry. It's a volatile quarter on quarter. So that's what it is. It's not that the company had a bad quarter. If at all there was a bad quarter, it was because we did not get the approvals on time and did not launch Imperia Phase 2 on time. But that's something that is, in a way, beyond our control, but should be like this year. But there was a silver lining there also. We thought that we will be selling Imperia at a certain price. We now will be selling at Imperia 2 at a price, whatever that price was, plus 20%. So that's the first part. As far as the second part, the remuneration goes, as you probably know, I'm also the MD of the unlisted company, which we own, which works in NCR and other northern markets. And there's a company, there is some statutory requirement that is, remuneration is increased in one company. If a person is in two companies, if remuneration is increased in one company, we have to take approval of both the companies. So that's the background of that resolution. It's an enabling clause. Nothing significant is happening in LDC Housing as far as my remuneration is going. So it's an enabling thing which is happening primarily on the unlisted side. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, sir. Just to clarify, is there any sharing of the remuneration, or it is
No, the two remuneration are separate.
Okay, and there is no connect there.
There would be some marginal increase, which is inflation linked kind of increase in LDC Housing, nothing significant, not of the kind of number that you're seeing in the resolution, which is an enabling resolution primarily for what is happening on the unlisted side.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you. Participants, to ask questions, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Pankaj Bajaj for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for coming today and your interest in the company. Hopefully, we'll have great news to share with you in the coming quarters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Eldeco Housing and Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.